Let the church say amen. Let the church say praise the Lord. God is worthy. He's awesome. And he's always there. It's with great joy that we come to you on today and elated to be in God's presence one more time. We won't delay the hour. We want to keep moving. And we thank God for the praise and worship team, for Deacon Joe and their dedication and their willing and want to be here to continue to serve. But there is a word from the Lord on today. Come and pray with me. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we lift you up. We bless your name. We're thankful. We honor you. We adore you. We ask that everybody that's in this place and all those who are watching from home, from work, online, through the prayer line, through whatever platform, that you bless them. Continue to let your angels encamp round about them. Bless their going in and bless their going out. Lord, we ask right now that you keep the blood around them. Protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger, seen and unseen. Now, Lord, we ask that you bless the angel of this house. Continue to use him. Continue to keep him and lift him up. Keep him encouraged on today. Now, Lord, bless your people. Now, God, we ask that you bless me, that you allow me to decrease so that you may increase. Anoint me from the very top of my head to the soles of my feet, oh God. Allow the word to go forth with power, with accuracy, and with might. Let he that has ear hear what the Spirit says to the church on today. Give us a mind to apply the word from up on high. Allow us to be better when we leave this place, when we end this broadcast. Allow us to be better after that moment than we were before it. Now, God, we ask and count these things done in your Son Jesus' name. Let every heart say amen. Amen and amen. Amen. We are thankful. We are thankful. We are thankful. I want to say, if you can hear me and the sound is good, give me a few likes, give me a few loves. If you need us to do anything to make your viewing a better experience, don't hesitate to comment. We will do the best that we can. But if you can hear me and things are clear, go ahead and hit the like button, if you will. Come and go with me to the book of Thessalonians, to the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and the 5th chapter, and we're just going to read 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Once you have it, go ahead, hit that like button some more for me. Hit it some more so I can know that you're ready. You're so used to having things on the screen that now you actually have to grab your Bible. God help us. You have to grab your Bible and go to 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. If you have it, hit that like button. You know, if you want to say amen or hallelujah, hit the like for amen. Hit the love button for hallelujah. Type it out. You know, you can praise God without having to open your mouth all the time. But let us know that, you know, that God is speaking to you, that the Spirit is moving in your life during this time. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. We want to give honor to God, who's the head of our life, to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to his Holy Spirit, to the angel of the house, Pastor Mobley Jr., to the deacons present, to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. There is a word from the Lord today. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 reads as follows. Rejoice always. That's 16. 17 says, pray without ceasing. And 18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God will stand forever. I want you to look at whoever's next to you, and since you're at home, you can definitely definitely shake their hands. And for those of us here, we just gonna look at somebody because we're practicing social distancing. And I want you to repeat after me. On today, the preacher's gonna preach about, let's keep the party going. Amen, amen. Let's keep the party going. You know, if there's not one thing that we all know how to do, it's we know how to party. And what I've looked at during this time of confinement, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the pandemic and spend a lot of time talking about corona, because God has that already under control. I don't care what it looks like now, God has that under control. But what I've noticed is that people have found a way to keep things moving even though the world seems to have stopped. Okay, so I see that now what we're doing, because we can't have birthday parties, we do parades. And since we can't have graduations, yesterday I seen a parade for a graduate, and they had horses, and they had buggies, and they had marching teams, and they had so much stuff going on that they were able to keep the party going even though they were not able to have a graduation. People who, because they can't sell alcohol and things like that, businesses had found a way to make hand sanitizer in order to keep the business going. And the restaurants that couldn't dine in anymore, they decided now everybody was delivering through DoorDash so people could continue to eat and they could generate revenue. People will find a way to keep the party going. And maybe y'all too saved for this, but I remember this song, and it says, Yahoo! This is your celebration. This is your celebration. Celebrate good times. Come on. And I believe Brother Cool said, there's a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the year. So bring your good times and your laughter too, because we're going to celebrate your party with you. People are finding ways to keep the party going no matter what is going on in their life. The problem is that we are focused on the wrong party, the wrong fiesta. We're focused on the wrong things. We want to keep the party going of debate and discussion. We want to keep the party going of disagreement, and we want to keep everything going except for the party that God has thrown for us. We want to keep everything going except for our relationship with God. Now, I'm staying at this point because I want us to understand that this was an issue long before the pandemic. We got a lot of people saying, we need to get back to church. We need to get into the house of the Lord. You can't tell us that we can't worship. Some of us weren't truly worshiping anyhow. We were in the house, but we weren't in his presence. See, just because you're in the house of the Lord don't mean that you're in the presence of God, because some of us are just going through the motion. And see, let me tell you, at the beginning of the year, a lot of us had New Year resolutions, and they tend to be forgotten in just a few days. In truth, we didn't need a resolution. What we really needed is a revolution. Webster defines revolution as a complete or radical change of any kind to overthrow a government or to overthrow any form of attack or social system that by those governing, and usually by forceful means. We don't need a resolution. We need a revolution that will change the way that we worship and interact with God. We need to take this time of being alone and confined to our homes to figure out how can we come out of this thing better than what we were when we first went in. Let's not come back out the same old tired body of Christ. Let's not come back just coming to church because mom and them made us go to church. Let's not just come back because we grew up our whole life going to church on Sunday morning. Let's be in the presence of God with the saints of God, because there's just no place we'd rather be. I want to be in the house of the Lord because he's just been so good to me that there's no other place I'd rather go on Sunday morning. I want to get up excited, elated, and beside myself to come and be in the house of the Lord with my brothers and sisters in Christ. See, to my way of thinking, this is exactly what most Christians need to happen in our lives. We need to experience a radical change in the way we think and approach God. In the way we act, in the way we treat each other, it needs to change. What am I saying? We need to have a revolution in the body of Christ. Not that we're trying to dethrone God, but we need to dethrone all the other things that we're worshiping in place of God. We need to dethrone all the other things that take precedent over our relationship with Jesus Christ. What do you do when you can't play any more basketball? What do you do when you can't go to any more clubs and the bars are closed? What do you do when you can't go to the Chiefs game on Sunday? What do you do when you don't know if there's going to be an NFL season or not? What are you going to do, church, when your job has closed down? What are you going to do when it's time and all you have to do is worship and pray to God? You don't even know what to do with yourself when you can be in the presence of God all day long. Yeah, everybody's talking about, is there going to be a Chiefs season? Is there going to be a rest of the NBA season? How about this is the season to draw closer to God? Yeah, come on, saints. We got to want to draw closer to the Lord. But we have to have a revolution within the body of Christ so we can provoke change in our walk. Let's take a few minutes to look at these scriptures and discover how to have a revolution and keep this party going. Okay, let's see how we can do that. And so my first point is it's not really a point. Let me say this. Let's face it. Our worship experience a lot of times is less than what it ought to be. Come on now. And it's not because of your choir, or because of your pastor, or because of your musician, or wherever you may fellowship. It's not because God is losing his power. It's because we are losing our power in our worship with Jesus Christ. It's not the fault of the Lord. It is the fault of the Christian. See, it's because we have decided that we're going to praise and worship and obey God on our terms. Okay, my first point is, don't stop praising. Okay, in order to keep the party going, you can't stop praising God. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 simply has two words in it and a comma. It says, rejoice always. The definition of rejoice, it is a verb. It is to feel or show great joy or delight. Okay, the biblical definition is to give joy, to gladden. This is an intransitive verb. That means you can feel joy or great delight. What does it mean to be intransitive? It means on one hand, you can say rejoice, and it doesn't have to be connected to anything. It can just be a state of mind. Or you can rejoice because something has happened. So if it's intransitive, that means it's connected to a noun, a subject, place, person, or thing, which means I'm rejoicing because I got a raise. I'm rejoicing because I got more money in the bank. But how about we just rejoice because God is good? He doesn't have to do anything in order for him to be good. We can just rejoice because he is who he is. And we're to rejoice always. And I'm going to keep moving. Romans 12 through 15. Come on, turn with me. Hit like if you're coming with me to Romans 12 through 15. And it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. See, some of us can't rejoice because we're too busy complaining. I've never seen somebody rejoice and complain at the same time. They do not coexist. It's like light and darkness. The minute you start complaining, you are incapable of rejoicing. So in order to rejoice in tribulation, you have to learn to be patient. continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. See, that's so hard for us to do, because if I feel like I don't like you, I don't feel like I want to bless you. If I feel like you coming up against me, the last thing I want to do is bless you. But the Bible says, bless those. See, we got to keep the party going by doing things that our flesh don't want us to do. We have to keep the party going by pleasing God and doing those things that are pleasing in His sight. Bless your enemies and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. We have to be rejoicing, church. I don't care. Well, a lot of us had problems long before the pandemic. A lot of us were depressed long before the pandemic. A lot of us felt lonely and felt like things couldn't get any worse long before the pandemic. And now people are still dealing with the same issues in addition to the pandemic. I'm trying to tell you that we have to rejoice no matter what things look like. I know people are tired and nobody wants to hear. We got Christians who are ready to turn back to the Black Panthers. We people are tired of rejoicing and turning the other cheek. I know that we as Black people, we are mad because of what happened to Ahmaud Arbery and how he was gunned down. I agree, it was a modern day lynching, and it was horrible that his killers were able to roam free for months and come and go as they pleased. It was irritating and it was horrible and I was angry. But in order to keep the spiritual party in the midst of tragedy, we have to learn to still rejoice because God is able. I'm mad, but I still love God more. I'm angry, but I will never stop loving God. And whatever God tells me to do, that shall I do. So even though you're going to continue to persecute my people, as hard as it is for me to do, I'm going to press towards the mark of God because God says, bless those who persecute you. So all my people of color, we have to learn to bless those who persecute us. Yeah, but you can't rejoice because you're too busy complaining and playing the victim role. I understand that we're not being treated fairly, but I'm going to rejoice in God still. Satan is attempting to steal our joy. He's attempting to steal our praise to render us powerless in this world. And then, as soon as Shannon Brown fired a couple shots at some people he thought were breaking into his house, he was arrested immediately. Life is not fair. And God didn't say that weapons wasn't going to come against us. He just said that the weapons will not prosper. And even though my present time looks bad, I'm going to rejoice because I know that my latter will be greater. See, some of us can only rejoice if our present is good. We have to learn to rejoice no matter what it looks like now, because I know in the end that I have the victory. Yeah. We have to quit letting our rejoicing and our praise be contingent on what's going on in our lives. James 1, 2 through 4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. I see people getting tested for COVID-19 and their anxiety starts to kick through the roof because they are anxious to see whether they have been confirmed positive or not. But the Bible says that regardless of what's going on, I can have joy because the testing of my faith produces patience. What I do know is that the faith test is going to positively affect my life. I know that when my faith is tested, I'm going to come out better at the end than I was at the beginning. And then 4 says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. My brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you go through various trials. And then the prophet Habakkuk in the third chapter and the 17th and the 19th verse, it says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the field and there be no herd in the stalls, yet, that means I don't care what you're going through right now. If you don't have any money in the bank, the Bible says yet. If you're tired of being in the house with your kids and wish they were in school and you're about to lose your mind, the Bible says yet. If your job has laid you off and you're not making any money right now, the Bible says yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord God of my salvation. Why is that, church? Because the Lord God is my strength. Yeah. You feeling weak? Well, God is your strength. Keep the party going with God. There's no curfew. There's no last call. There's no time. There's no city ordinance. You can party with God all night long, and he'll be your strength. He'll make your feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high heels. And when you're working on your high heels, that means you strutting your stuff like Ali Gates. That means no matter what's going on in your life, your chest is out and your head is held up. You are not walking around all droopy head and dreary eyed. You are just excited that no matter what's going on in your life, yet God is able. Yeah, I don't have to worry about what's going on before the yet. I can celebrate what's going to happen after the yet. Yeah. Philippians 4, 10 through 13 says this. This is what Paul said. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at your last care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do. Come on, church, say it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul said that I've learned to be hungry and I've learned to be full. I've learned to be abased and I've learned to be abound. Whether I'm up on the mountain or down in the valley, the blood of Jesus can reach me anywhere. And victory shall be mine. We have to learn to be content no matter what we're dealing with. The reason why we can't rejoice and praise God is because we haven't learned to be content. The reason why we can't make it, even though God is keeping our physical person, our mind is not stayed on Jesus Christ. Yeah. My next point. So don't stop praising, church. Don't let Satan steal your joy. Don't let Satan stop you from praising God. But my next point is don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. Verse 17 simply has one more word than verse 16 with the same comma. It says, pray without ceasing. Come on, this is simple. This is elementary, Watson. Pray without ceasing. It means simply don't stop praying. You know, we act like praying is a last resort. We say all the time, well, all you can do is pray. Well, let me tell you, church, if praying is in your arsenal of weapons, you are in a good position, because there is no more powerful weapon on this earth than to be able to pray to God in the name of his son Jesus, because God is faithful. So we are to pray without ceasing. We need to have rug burns on our kneecaps because we praying to God so much. There should be times to where your kid ain't always interrupting you from Facebook. He ain't always interrupting you from your TV show or from you binge watching Netflix. Sometimes your kid should be interrupting you because you just praising God all day long.
Sometimes your kids should interrupt you because you praying to God and you trying to be close to God. Sometimes you should be interrupted and say, I can't talk right now. I'm on the line with Jesus the Christ. We have to pray without ceasing. And why is that, church? Because 2 Chronicles 7, 14-15 says this: if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Let me say it again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. So first off, you have to understand that you have to humble yourself and realize you can't fix your issues on your own. And once you realize that this problem is too big for you, but not too big for God, you can pray. And if you feel like God ain't hearing you, keep praying some more. And sometimes you might have to look for them because you don't feel them. But that's not because God has lost his power. That's because we have lost our way. So sometimes we have to seek that which is lost because sometimes we've lost our way. But if I pray to God, the Bible tells me that he will be like a compass and I can find my way back to God's will. And then the Bible says, my face and turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I know that you want to hear that about COVID-19, and yes, it's true, but some of our land needed healing before the pandemic. Our land was infested with unforgiveness. Our land was infected with depression. Our land was infected with disease and hurt and all type of pain, but God will forgive our sin and heal our land. 15 says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. The reason why you can't feel God and you can't hear God is because you're not praying to God. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. Matthew's gospel, the 26th and the 41st verse says, watch and pray. See, some of us, we talking too much and we got too much to say and too much to type. The Bible says, watch and pray. And this is when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he went up a little bit ahead of his disciples before it was time to be crucified. And he was praying to God. And then he came back and seen them sleeping and he woke them up and said, can't you pray with me? Can't you tarry with me for just 1 hour? This lets us know how important it is to pray without ceasing. When you get tired, pray to God some more. When you get tired of being tired, keep praying some more. God will hear your prayers. Why should we watch and pray? Lest you enter into temptation. That's why. Satan is waiting to consume us. Satan is going about the earth like a lion seeming who he can devour. That's why we got to watch out for attacks. We got to watch out for things that are going on that we don't know about. And we have to pray unless we fall into temptation. See, some of us have fallen into a state of complaining because we're not watching and praying. We have to not stop praying. The Bible says that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Psalm 145, 18 through 19 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Some of us were drowning. We were sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But when we cried out, the Lord saved us. I'm reminded of when Peter said, Lord, if it's you, allow me to walk out of this boat and walk to you on this water. And Jesus said, come on, Peter. You can walk to me. And Peter, who was all man, a disciple, an apostle of God, he stepped out on the water and he started to walk and he did not sink. But the minute that he started to fear the water more than Jesus, the minute that he started to fear the water and him instead of him who created the water, the minute he started to fear the water more than he feared the one who commanded the water, Peter started to sink. And the reason why our party is starting to die down is because we are taking our eyes off Jesus. If we focus on our Savior, Jesus will keep us from sinking into whatever pit Satan is setting up for us. And then when we pray out to Jesus, if we start to sink, the Bible says that Peter said, "Lord Jesus, save me." And Jesus quickly, he reached out and grabbed Peter by the hand. He snatched him up and they hopped in the boat. And as soon as they hopped in the boat, the Bible says that the storm ceased. And Jesus said, "Oh, ye of little faith." The minute that Peter stopped believing in the power of Jesus was the minute that Peter's situation got worse. Some of our situations have worsened because our relationship with God has decreased. You complaining so much because your prayer is way down here. Your anger is up here because your relationship with God is down here. Your anxiety is through the roof because your prayer life is in the basement. Come on now. Your anxiety and fear are through the roof because your prayer life is down in the dungeon. I'm trying to help somebody on today. If we will pray without ceasing, God will meet every need that we have. Yeah, let's keep the party going. I don't need a DJ for this party. I don't need a ticket of performers for this party. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. It's not my mother, nor my father, nor my sister, nor my brother, but Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. I need a blessing, and I'm going to wrestle and not let go until you bless me. The Bible says in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing. Quit worrying about everything. Don't worry about your breakthrough. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That means I'm going to thank you even though it hasn't happened yet. I'm going to thank you even though my order has yet not shipped. I know sometimes when we order stuff online, we look for the confirmation. And ever so often, we're checking back for the confirmation that the order has shipped. And then after the order has shipped, we keep checking the email to see when the order has arrived. And we don't want to say thank you to the company until I've opened up my box and made sure that my good is in great shape. We don't have to treat God like that. I can say thank you even though my package has not arrived. I can say thank you, God, even though my blessing ain't here yet. I can thank him because his credit is good. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of God that he shall repent. God is faithful. It says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Come on, we got to get our anxiety and fear under control. And it will happen once we get our prayer life where it needs to be. Marriages are ending. Kids are running amok. People are losing their mind. Not because of COVID-19. Let me tell you something, devil. Not because of the pandemic. The body of Christ is losing its mind because our prayer life is in the basement. And once we get the party going and we get back to praising and worshiping God like we used to, our minds will be made right again. Yeah. Yeah, my final point. Don't stop giving thanks. Don't stop giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, not in some things, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many people want to be obedient to God's will? If you want to be obedient to God's will, go ahead, hit love on that right now. Hit love right now. If you want to be obedient to the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, make some noise right now. Because it is the commandment of God that in everything we are to give thanks. Some of us can't give thanks because we're waiting on the confirmation of delivery of our package. Some of us can't say thank you, Jesus, because we're saying, I'm not going to thank you until you show me that you're going to give me what I asked for. God wants us to be thankful in everything. The first division of Psalm says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of your marvelous works. When we come back together, are you going to be ready to tell everybody how good God has been to you? Or are we going to come in here complaining about how broke we were and how I didn't get my stimulus check? I'm still waiting on my $1,200. I'm still waiting on the first payment, let alone the second payment. How about I say, thank you, Lord, for keeping me and my family. Thank you, Lord, that I, when I look up, I see a ceiling and not the stars. Thank you, Lord, that I got a little money for some groceries. I'm in this lockdown with no job, but I haven't lost a pound. Let me tell you something. If you still gaining weight or maintaining your weight and don't have no job, God is still blessing you. Yeah. You can't complain and be gaining weight at the same time because God is still providing. Amen. The Bible says, I was young and now I'm old and I'm yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I will never stop praising God. And I'm going to tell everybody how good God has been to me. I'm going to tell them how he kept my wife when she was going to the hospital every day. I'm going to tell them how he kept my parents, even though they over 70 years old, and how my grandma turned 90. I'm going to praise God no matter my circumstance. Psalms 106:1 says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Whatever bad thing has come your way, whatever thing that has traumatized you, still give thanks to the Lord. Keep the party going. Don't let nothing stop your relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And one of the most famous psalms that there is, and I'm going to let you guess what it is. The Bible says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. I'm going to always give God thanks. I may not be able to sing, but I'm going to thank him anyhow. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Listen to this, y'all. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That means you have to be in a mind of giving thanks to God all day long. I know sometimes it gets hard, but I know God is going to get me through it. And I'm going to thank him for it while I'm in it because I know he's going to get me out of it. Yeah, we have to enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Come on, church, you know the rest. For the Lord is good. For the Lord, he is good. For the Lord, he is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. COVID can't stop the fact that my God is truth. COVID can't stop that my God is all powerful. There's nothing that can stop the fact that God will allow us to be victorious. And I'm almost done, church. I'm reminded of 2 Samuel 6:13 through 15. And the Bible says, and so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. David didn't let nothing stop his party with Jesus. The Bible says that King David danced up out of his clothes, and he didn't care who was watching him dance like David danced. Back in the day when you was at the party, the club, or the juke joint, whatever your age had you at, you danced until the DJ stopped playing music. We danced until we could dance no more. We danced until we got home and we woke up and our legs were sore. So let's dance for how good God has been to us. We have to learn that God is better to us than we are to ourselves. The Bible tells me that Michelle had hatred in her heart for David, and she watched David through the window as he danced. And when he came back in, she said, what type of king will dance in front of his people in his undergarments? And he said, woman, quit hating. You just mad because the Lord chose me. You just mad because the Ark of the Covenant is in this house. Let me tell you something. People will hate on you and want to see your destruction, but I'm telling you right now, if you dance like David danced, I don't care if your wig fall off. I don't care if your glasses fall off. Dance like David danced. And remember what David said. I'm reminded as I get ready to end this broadcast. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying. We already made mention of that. After the final supper, the last supper, he went and he prayed. And he told his disciples, you stay back here and pray with me. And they were full and had the itis and they couldn't hang. He came back another time and they were still sleeping. And while Jesus was praying, he said, Lord, my Father, let this cup pass from me, if it be thy will. And God didn't say anything. So Jesus said, not my will. Nevertheless, your will be done. So I'm trying to tell you that we need to praise God with thanksgiving, for it is the will of God in Jesus Christ. What am I trying to say here, church? Even though Jesus didn't really want to do it as a man, he still was obedient to the will of God. And he was beat all night long. He was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was found guilty even though he was innocent. The Bible says that they put a cross on his back and they made him march it up Golgotha's hill. They drove nails through his feet and nails through his hands. They put a crown of thorn on his head and they hung him between the two thieves. And he's still in the perfect will of God. He's just now really getting the party going for you and for me. And even though it looks like the party's almost over, I'm trying to tell you that the party is just beginning. Because the Bible says that no man can take my life, but I freely give it. And if you tear this temple down in 3 days, I'm going to raise it back up again. The Bible says between the 6th and the 9th hour, he gave up his ghost. And they laid him in old man Joseph's borrowed tomb. Come on, church. Get happy wherever you are, because the party is just beginning. He laid there all night Friday night. And he laid there all night Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, Jesus, he got up. He got up with all power and heaven and earth in his hands. Jesus, he lives. He lives, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, the Bible says that I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Come on, church. Oh, magnify. Come on, praise his name. Bless his name. And magnify the Lord with me. Come on, let me pause right there. The same David who praised God for the Ark of the Covenant is the same David that when God allowed his firstborn son with Bathsheba to die, David still kept praying to God. David never stopped praising God, even in the midst of his troubles. As a matter of fact, when David's son died, he got up. He quit praying and he went to go eat his food. And they said, King David, how is it that you didn't eat while your son was asleep? But now that he's dead, you eat. David said, well, I prayed and I prayed. And God made his decision. So now that he's gone, there's nothing else I can do about it. But I'm going to stay faithful because God has been good to me. And that's why he wrote in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. God is faithful because David said that this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. We have to cry out to God. When you feel like this poor woman because you don't have any money, cry out to God. When you don't know your way out of your situation, please cry out to God. When things are going good in your life, still cry out to God. No matter what is happening in your day, the Bible says cry out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Listen to this. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivered them. Come on, y'all, say it with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and will suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord, those who pray to God, those who trust in God shall not lack any good thing. Come on, God is good. And I don't have to celebrate because of what I'm going through. I can celebrate because Jeremiah says that I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and not a future. I can rejoice no matter what. Church, God is in control. And I'm going to leave you with this. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Church, God is good. And we can't let nothing or anybody or anything stop our party. We have to stay in close proximity with God. We have to stay in close communication with God. When our loved ones and friends are dying, God is still there. Even in death, I can celebrate when a believer dies because the Bible says that I go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Jesus is coming back. So even in death, let's keep the party going. Even in sickness, let's keep the party going. There's no cover charge. You don't have to bring any money. The only way to get into this party is to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And it doesn't mean trouble won't come. It doesn't mean sickness won't come. And the Bible never said that sickness won't defeat your body. The Bible never said that health and violence won't attack your body. But what the Bible does promise is that no matter what, if you're dead when Jesus comes back and you believe in him, you're going to heaven. If you're alive when Jesus comes back, you're going to be raptured up in a twinkling of an eye. If Jesus is in your heart, you are invited to a party that will never, ever end. It's an eternal party.
It's one that just keeps going and going and going and going. It's one that you don't want to miss. We got loved ones there already partying. We got friends and family. We got parents and children and siblings that are already there. But we have to start the party and keep it going here on earth. And it can't be a fair weather. We're going to party when things go good. We got to keep the party going when things go bad. When we get bad reports for the doctor, keep on partying. When we get bad reports from our jobs, keep on partying. When our kids get bad grades, knock them out, then keep on partying. God is good. Take this moment right where you are. And I just want you to pray this prayer with me. If you don't know the Lord, pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We bless your holy name. We come right now asking that if there be anyone watching who doesn't know you, that you put on their spirit to repeat after me. Our Father, I am a sinner who wants to be a part of your family. I ask right now that your Son, Jesus Christ, come into my heart. I believe that he is your only begotten Son, born of a virgin, that he lived a perfect life. He did his ministry. He was obedient even to the point of death on the cross. He died. He was laid in a tomb. And I believe that he rose again on the third day. I believe that he lives. And I believe that he's sitting on the right hand side of you. I want you, Jesus, to come into my heart. I want you to be the Savior of my life and the Lord of my life. Forgive me of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my wicked ways that don't please you. Lord, allow me to be able to say, wherever I cast my lot, it is well with my soul. Thank you for accepting me into your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Give God some praise right where you are. I believe that if not right now, later on, somebody is going to find Jesus through this word, through this time. We want to thank you on behalf of our pastor and First Lady and our church family for tuning in with us. We know that you had a ton of options, but you saw fit and God saw fit to allow you to worship through us. You can go. I'm going to read our scripture for giving. And we have two platforms and three in which you can give. You can come by and put your check in the mailbox at 11,000 Ruskin Way. You can give through Cash App, which is $CCC11000. You can give that way, or you can go on to our church website, which is ChristianCharityChurch.com, and click on the online giving tab, which is a PayPal platform. Christian Charity, you know what we teach, and we believe that we are to give a tenth of the first fruit of what God has given as our tithe and whatever offerings that the Lord has placed on your heart. Our friends who are tuning in who may not be partners, if the Lord has put it on your heart to give in support of this ministry, you can follow the instructions. I'm sure somebody is posting that in the comments. Amen. But 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And here's the blessing. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all good things may have an abundance for every good work. Amen.